The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Bible teacher and author Beth Moore.
He is risen! He is risen! He is risen! Can you imagine what the angels of darkness were doing? Can you imagine? You talk about Satan going to plan B. How are we going to explain a missing body?
The events surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, next.
Thank you. We welcome you. It's such a joy to come into your home. We're going to be sharing Beth Moore in a moment, and you know what a blessing that is. This is a wonderful week. Good Friday, Easter. And you know, I'm excited about the holidays that reference our Lord and direct people's attention to Him. I have to be honest, I feel like I live in the resurrection power of Jesus every day. I don't have to wait for Easter. He really is alive. He is alive in us. And we feel like we're alive in Him. And we want to share this life. I mean, the title of our program, Life Today, is because of the life we have in Christ today and every day that inspires us to want to share with you. And I can promise you, Beth Moore always has something to share and something to say. Don't you appreciate her? Don't all of you in the audience appreciate Beth Moore and a wonderful gift? Well, here is Beth, and you be blessed and honor the Lord every day, and thank God for this time. When we remember that great Friday, what the enemy thought was a moment when he wins is the greatest loss he ever suffered. And the resurrection day, our Lord. Here's Beth to talk about it. Here's Beth.
In Exodus 25, verse 10, this is exactly what I wrote my first study on. It thrills me as much today as it thrilled me then. Have them make a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. Verse 11, overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. I'm reading slowly because I want you to picture it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Verse 13, you know what those rings are for because we just said it. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the side of the chest to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of the ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the testimony which I will give you. Verse 17, now this is where I much prefer the King James terminology, and the Holman Christian also uses this terminology. I much prefer mercy seat. In NIV, it's going to say atonement cover, but it's saying mercy seat. It's the same exact thing. Make an atonement cover, a mercy seat, of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make two, what does that say? What does it say? Oh, I hope so much you're able to glance at your Bible right now because it says, and make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and the 2nd cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. Do you hear that terminology? The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking toward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the testimony, which I will give you. 22, do not miss it. There, above the cover, between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. You hold on right there, and I want to read something to you. You can jot down this address, and I'm just about to speak it out to you. Hebrews 8:5, listen to what the book of Hebrews tells us about the Old Testament tabernacle. Hebrews 8:5 says, they served at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, and he's quoting God, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. All right, God calls Moses up on top of that mountain. He says, this is what I want you to build me. And when you build it for me, I'm going to meet with you right there. It's interesting terminology because he says, I'll meet with you both on that mercy seat and at the brazen altar. The terminology is used in both places. Fascinating, fascinating. So he says to him, but you don't build it just any way. You will build it exactly like I tell you to, because it is a copy and shadow of something I am looking at in heaven. So God is describing something to him that he's going to have him build in the earthly realm as a picture of something that God has his face upon in the reality of heaven. And I want to suggest to you that it was what was sitting very near him. Everything about the Old Testament tabernacle is teaching us about Christ Jesus himself. And so he says, you don't veer from it to the right or the left. You do it exactly as I tell you to do it. Now look with me at the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, the four Gospels, Acts, and the letter to the Romans, Romans 3:25. I've just finished teaching the book of Romans in Sunday school. It took me a solid year to do it and nearly killed me, I might add. But it was some kind of study. Romans 3:25. All right, listen to it in the NIV, and then I'm going to read it to you as well out of the King James Version. It says in Romans 3:25, God presented him, and it's talking about Christ Jesus. You'll see it at the very end of verse 24. God presented Christ Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. Everybody say that phrase, sacrifice of atonement. As a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Now, I want you to look back as it says, through faith in his blood, a sacrifice of atonement. In the King James Version, it uses only one word that makes it a little bit easier for us to grasp, as we're going to look at the original Hebrew, or the original Greek, rather. It says, Christ Jesus, and I'm reading out of the King James, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. I realize that's a big million-dollar word, but I want you to stick with me here. To be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Now, stick with me here. That word, sacrifice of atonement and propitiation, even though one is a phrase and another is just one word, both of those terms come from one Greek word, hilasterion. Hilasterion. It's not important that you remember that word. I just want you to know what it means. It means propitiation. It means all the things you've just heard, but it also means mercy seat. It also means mercy seat. Elsewhere, it is translated mercy seat. Now, this is something that scholars go back and forth on. No, that's not what it would say in the literal translation. Others say, yes, it's exactly what it's trying to say. Go back and forth on it. But I want you to hear this. If we were to set it in like Young's literal translation does it, he reads, whom God did set forth a mercy seat. Christ himself is the mercy seat. Now, go with me back to John chapter 20, and let's put this all together as we see what Mary saw. It says, as she wept, and I am in the middle of verse 11, she bent over, looked into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Now, grab this with me, because what she's seeing there, would you picture with me, that before time began, God had already chosen in his own mind, whether or not they knew of their appointment, two angels that would guard the body of his precious son while it lay in that tomb. I'll never forget what a friend of mine said to me after she lost her little boy in an accident some years ago. She said, you know, Beth, my friends keep telling me not to go to the cemetery. And she says, I know it wouldn't be healthy to go to the cemetery all the time, but she says, they keep telling me over and over again, he's not there. He's not there. And these are very tender words I'm speaking to you from a very tender mother who had gone through just the ultimate pain, and some of you have been there as well. And she said, the thing of it is, I know his little spirit and soul is not there. But she said, I also happen to love that physical body. And it is there. Never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. We know that in spirit, Christ was very busy over those couple of days. But his physical body, she had told me, she said, I brushed that hair. I held that hand. And I thought to myself, God had done the same thing with his one and only son. Can you imagine the last he really saw his son in heaven in glory? Before the plan was put into action, and then suddenly, for the first time they've been separated in relationship, for the first time, Christ Jesus is this big in a mother's womb. Separation. Can you imagine what that was like? One moment, just like things have always been. Next moment, here's the Father staring down in the ultimate ultrasound, watching every single beat of that heart, just exactly like that. He knew the soul of his son was not in that tomb in that moment, but his body was. And he had brushed that hair with the wind. Knew every single wrinkle on his palm and exactly what wrinkles had been interrupted with the nail. He knew that body from head to foot. Precious, precious, precious to him. His only begotten son. You will guard the body of my son. Friday evening. During the night, Friday night, Saturday morning, as the sun begins to shine just so around the edges of the rock leaned against the tomb, staring, one angel at his feet, wings stretched, staring down over the body of the Messiah, the other angel positioned exactly opposite, wings up, over, staring down at that body. Nothing. Nothing. Not a twitch. All Saturday evening, all through the night, until sometime very early in the morning, while it was still dark, there must have been a twitch. I wonder, did he just sit straight up or did he just move for a second? All of a sudden, that body is filled with the life of Christ again, sits straight up and walks straight out of that tomb, unhindered by anything in front of it. Can you imagine being the angel's position, one at his head, one at his feet? Can you picture them catapulted into the sky, giving the greatest message the heavenlies would ever hear? He is risen! He is risen! He is risen! Can you imagine what the angels of darkness were doing? Can you imagine? Anything but this. Anything but this. You talk about Satan going to plan B. How are we going to explain a missing body? What a moment. No moment like this. Oh, you know what I want to say to you? And I've got such a lump in my throat while I'm trying to say it. Oh, that the cross and the resurrection of Christ would never grow old to us. Never. This is our hope. This is our faith. We shall be like him, raised from the dead in the blink of an eye. That is the foundation of our faith. That is my Savior. At exactly the right moment, he just sat straight up and out of there. You talk about two angels who were glad to have the job they got. Praise you, Lord, whom God did set forth a mercy seat. And God, sustain our wonder. That is your right. Wonder is a gift of your sonship and your daughtership. It's your right. Verse 13, I'm just about to cry. Strange the things that get us, especially when they ask her next, woman, why are you crying? Because you thrill me so, you thrill me so. That wasn't exactly her answer in that moment. And she says to them, of course, these are the angels asking, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away. What would be worse than that? And that would be the risk of losing our wonder. That everything that was lordship to us, if I can't believe this, what am I to believe? Do you see what the enemy would have? Nobody, nobody, nobody. Everybody say nobody. Nobody. Gets to take away your Lord. No. He is the Christ, the one and only. There is none like him. They've taken away the Lord. I don't know where they put him. And at this, it says in verse 14, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. Now, she turned around. Every time I read this, I get something new out of it, and I hadn't caught this before. All right, she's looking in the tomb like this. The angels are there, one sitting where the head has been, one sitting where the feet have been, and they say, woman, why are you crying? She suddenly turns around and looks behind her. Why? Because he had to have walked up, and the angels, let me tell you, if they can get the face of Christ, they're going to look on it. You understand what I'm saying? There is not an angel in the heavenlies that when Christ is within visual range is not going to stare upon the face of Christ. So all of a sudden, I think he came walking up behind her, and they're looking at her like this, and they all at once look over there, over her shoulder, and there he is, the reason for their entire existence, to praise him, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, Jesus, the Son of God. Second, he walks into any situation, if we really know who he is, we change our focus, girls. We change our focus, guys. Because nothing can hold a candle to Jesus. When he walks into that situation, whew, change your focus.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
You know, when Beth talked about Jesus just being, I mean, when he walks in, everything changes. You know, she made reference to the mercy seat. She made reference to the Ark of the Covenant. One of the things that has really jumped out at me in importance is the fact that the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried on sanctified shoulders, not on carts. I really feel like we've carried the Word of God too often on institutional carts, organizations rather than living organisms as the family and body of Christ, sanctified shoulders. And that really is the only way that you're going to impact the world and make God's imprint on the world. We've got enough religious footprints all over the world. We need to see kingdom imprint. And that's what we're about. And I'm telling you, when you see the work of Jesus, who is alive, in the missionaries, and know that the only way they can do what they do is by the enabling that you provide, the resources. It excites you to know how important you are as a part of God's kingdom purpose. I want you to look at the images you're about to see. Human trafficking. And know that these girls who become sex slaves can be rescued by love. But it takes not just the love of the missionaries, the love of God through you. Watch closely.
ចូលមកប្លុកថ្មីដល់ពេលយើងក្នុងនាមជាបងធំរូបគឺយើង Actually, she, the old lady tricked her to be in the room and then let the man rape her and then sold her, you know, to other men one after another and never gave her money. At that time, she felt like so disgraced on herself that she was sold. And then when she was beaten all the time, she would think that it's better for her to be killed.
They beat them
and then locked in the room.
Locked in the room.
Yeah.
And they also put a spike in her leg.
A spike? Like a metal railroad spike? They put that into your leg? And here she is. She's caught in this trap and she doesn't see any way out. People have owned her and forced her to perform many sexual acts, 10 men a day. You can look at her face and tell she doesn't want to do this. She hates it. She hates what she has to do again and again and again. I want to stop it.
Because someone like you contributed to make it possible for us to rescue Shreyanne, we've been able to do that. That very girl, and that just happened a few weeks ago, that scene. Here's some pictures, Betty, of her in training now to learn how to have a craft. We've gotten her totally out. That pimp that you saw talking so casually and indifferently about how he would be cruel to him, have his friends rape him, they led him to Christ. Right there. God's kingdom presence showed up. He was led to the Lord. He's not doing that anymore. Those girls have been rescued because someone enabled a couple that left Hollywood, where they served the motion picture industry with all the power generators out on location. She sold a 7 or 8 carat diamond ring to pay her own way over there, and they moved in rented quarters and started rescuing people. Our ministry had touched them and inspired them. And now, lo and behold, we find them doing the work, and we begin to enable them and build an incredible life center. When I say we, I mean we, you, the viewers, all over the world who said we want to have a part in that. It's so beautiful to see these children, Betty. Now they're singing and praising God and learning how to make a living, and they're no longer trapped, and we're able to rescue children before they're sold because of the poverty they live in. Parents will let someone take their children, not knowing they're going into sexual slavery, being told they're going to go take them to town and teach them how to get a job and go to school. It's pathetic. We've been up in those areas, in the remote mountainous areas there in Thailand, and we work in many other countries, in Cambodia and other places we can't even mention. And we've been able to rescue these children. Here's what we're asking you to do. If you will make a gift of $128, that's what it takes. That's the average to rescue one of these precious children. You will enable us to do that. We need to hear from every one of you. This is our last week. And we're praying that every single one, some of you have already helped. We still need help. The only limit in how many we can reach is whether we have the ability to do it. Thousands have been rescued. We're reaching out now to thousands. Will you take one? Is there any way you could help us rescue 10 with a gift of $1,280? We've got gifts to bless you as you give the great gift of God's love in His life. Please make that call. Use your bank card like it's a check. That's how you use it. Or you can go online, Life Today, and make your gift. If you write a check, make it to Life, because that's exactly what we're giving. Father, I pray every person watching would move to the phone or online and make the gift you put on their heart. In Jesus' name, thank you. Remember, it's the last week. In this emphasis right now to rescue life, please help us.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening,
But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. This is the last week, so please call, write, or make your gift online.
I do want to remind you, this is, as it's the last week, for some of you, your last opportunity. This is the heart of the Father. We want to show the heart of the Father. If you could help us rescue 10 of these precious girls and children with a gift of $1,280, or if you could do more than that, please do what you can to help. But $128, that's what it takes. And it's going to take all of us helping together. Thanks for doing it. You have a wonderful week, and honor the Lord every day of your life. Thanks for your help.
Tomorrow, best-selling author Andy Andrews explores the butterfly effect.
But how do you prove that somebody matters?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.